Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of Don't Make Me Come Back. They're a funny podcast about family. If you did it, if you made it to episode 2, you're killing it. You are killing it. Just big shout out to my wife and my mom and the people that I know. The only people that I confidently know have made it to episode 2. Each week here, we talk to different funny people and people of interest about their life and family. That can mean all kinds of different things, all kinds of different topics. My name is Dustin. I'm a stand-up comedian with our producer here, Steven.
Hey, what's up?
And today, we have an episode that I would know absolutely nothing about if not for two of my two funny friends who sat down here, Zoltan Cassis and Chinedu Unaka, sitting down talking about their experience growing up with immigrant parents. Zoltan came over with his mom from Budapest, Hungary on the 4th of July. How about that story? And Chinedu, his parents came over from Nigeria and then had his him and his siblings here. So growing up with parents who were immigrants. It's a really funny episode. It's a really insightful, kind of brings you into to the life and experience. And you can follow both of them on Twitter and Instagram at Chinedu Comedy, C-H-I-N-E-D-U Comedy, and Zoltan Comedy, Z-O-L-T-A-N Comedy. Nailed those names.
Got them.
And got their Twitter handles. We recorded this at Lestat's Comedy Night, a weekly comedy show here in San Diego that I host, and they were both on that show. So make sure you guys check them out. Before we get started each week, I'm going to fill you guys in a little stuff going on in my life. I'm a dad. I am a husband. We are right now in the thick of Little League. I love Little League. Sports, like baseball, was the sport that I played the most growing up, so it's the one that I put the most pressure on my kid to be good at. Sports are so funny, like, because they, like, you, like, parents have great intentions in putting them, and then they get on their worst behavior.
Definitely.
As soon as they, it's real bad. But my son, he's playing up a little bit, and he's small anyways, and I was the same way, but he's playing up, and so he's going against, like, just some... just man children, just like kids that drove there to the game, like kids that got like bags under their eyes because they're studying for their SATs, you know. It's not even like, you know, they have the joke like they don't have facial hair because they shave, you know. Like, there's this cat, like, so he can be like a little timid, and he was a little nervous particularly about hitting, and for like all the preseason games he didn't swing the whole, which is the easiest way to strike out.
Yeah, that's pretty important.
You're going to strike out most times. And so we had this funny moment where we were like just working with him. Like, I was like, all right, I got to do it. I got to, you know, I got to work with him. I got to do the dad thing. I get the bucket of balls. We're going to go out to the field. I'm going to throw a bunch of pitches to him. For like 3 or 4 days straight, we went out and threw probably like 200 pitches each day, which don't do that. Don't go from 0 to 600 pitches. No arm for a week. Yeah. Don't do that. And it worked. And I had this really funny moment as a dad because it worked. And his first at bat, he got a single off this big kid. I was like, that's great. And his next one, he roped a double. I was like, this is fantastic. I was cheering, I was standing up. And then I looked out and I saw him dancing out on second base, like blowing kisses to the pitcher. And I was like, fool, you had not swung.
He was 0 for life time going into that game.
And now
he's Gary Gaetti. Yeah.
Just dancing his own little signature moves up there. All the teams yelling at him. He's clapping it up. His next at bat, he went up and he struck out on 3 pitches. I stood up clapping. That was the Lord that struck you out.
That was
That was
bring
from
him down.
Him. So, anyways, well, I'm enjoying that. And again, we really thank you guys for tuning into the podcast here. If you want to follow us online, please do. We are at Don't Make Me Come Back There on Twitter and Instagram. And you can shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. We really want you guys to engage with us on there. Let us know content that you want to hear. Like I said, we are all things family. We want this to be something that you guys are really engaged with as a community and letting us know the things that you want to talk about and the things, maybe some people that you want to hear about. So with that said, everybody, please enjoy this conversation with Zoltan Kasis and Chinedu Unaka. Thank you, Zoltan. Chinedu.
Yeah.
For being here. Thanks for doing the show. Did you guys have a good time?
Had
great
a lot
time.
Of fun.
Yeah. A lot of fun. You worked out some new stuff, Zoltan?
Yeah, I told some stories about Calgary, Jamaica, Mexico, and Vegas. Yeah. And then that was it.
Most of those were on one cruise, right?
Jamaica, Mexico. And then Vegas was separate and Calgary was separate.
We were talking earlier about how, like, Mexico doesn't, like, for their touristy things, they don't have real strict laws.
No. I rented a scooter and I turned a $20 rental into a $500 credit card charge. And, like, the thing is, I had never ridden a scooter, but I had done jet skis.
Yeah.
And usually there's
in
a
the
20.
States.
Yeah, there's. No. Out in some foreign country. Catalina Island. You know, those, whatever. But, like, it was a 15-minute video, and then you had to, like, go around some cones or buoys. And that's what I thought was the scooters. But no, some Mexican dude just gave me keys to a motorcycle, and I just started off in traffic. My first time on a scooter.
Was there even, like, a bank of them, or was it just his scooter?
No, he pulled it out of an alley, and I started into the street. I didn't even have a loop around a parking lot. I'm right into traffic. Yeah. Dump trucks, delivery trucks, taxis. Yeah. I'm right in there, and I don't know what the I'm doing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I ended up crashing it and destroyed it.
Sheesh.
What are the odds?
When I did, I was telling you earlier, when I went to, my wife and I had our honeymoon in Cancun, and I
You're
never
so white of you.
Yeah, it was. Well, listen, all right, I was a child. Listen, no shame.
Cancun is nice.
Yeah, it was very Dustin. Nice. It was very,
it's very nice.
It's like when Michael Scott from The Office went to Sandals, Jamaica. Yeah.
we were using all of our like you know, high school Spanish vocab words.
Me gusta.
Well, because I was 19 and 20, so and she was 20, so it was fresh. We knew it. Wasn't that long ago.
Oh, good.
But we went out to these Mayan ruins, which were like a couple of hours out of like the big city.
Yeah.
And they have like in the center of it this like big, you know, tower that you can climb up and everything. It's really steep. And there's an ambulance that sits at the bottom. And I was talking to the tour guide. I was like, how many like people fall? And he's like, a couple a day.
Wow.
He said, Jesus. A couple a day. And then I asked him, like, how many people die? And he's like, maybe one a month. Yeah,
wow.
I couldn't
was
believe.
Dead serious too. Huh?
Yeah, that's the thing. There was no irony. He wasn't even joking. He was just relaying it like facts. And there's no version.
No.
Like if a guy died of one death a month on Space Mountain, like that's getting shut down.
Yeah,
know?
It is.
Right.
And not because they want to, just because the politics.
Yeah, exactly. It would make it more exciting. A roller coaster would be more exciting if like once a month, like a cart just flew off.
Yeah.
You know?
I would be like, all right, let's go write this. This sounds legit.
It has way more excitement in that scenario. But great set tonight, too. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun, man. I love this place. The crowd is always juiced and ready to go.
Yeah.
What do you feed them before they come in?
They're all on like decaf coffee is what it feels like.
Nice.
Like they all, this room is lovely.
It's just a fun room.
And they just
I don't
listen.
Know what it is. They listen, they're attentive.
It's like a crowd that has like a little bit more energy than a poetry slam.
I
know?
Agree. I do feel like Langston Hughes up there when I'm here. That's why I wear the cardigan.
But I feel like that fits your vibe. You're pretty mellow up there.
I am pretty mellow, man. It's really hard for me to have a lot of energy.
I don't think I've done I did a show. This is a relationship. I've never told you this. I did a show like a couple months ago at a room here in town, and I was closing, and like I leaned up against the back wall. My wife was there, and I was like very casual, and I put like my foot up on the wall, and I was just kind of like mellow with
them. Okay, I see you swag.
And and I was like, this is really. And my wife was like, you look ridiculous doing that. That looked awful. Like you didn't look like you were trying. I was like, no, it works. Like I've never seen a comedian do it. And I was like, well, this is Kat Chinedu. I did a weekend with him at Flappers Claremont, and he did it every set. And
then she's like, let me watch a clip. And she's like, he's so much cooler than you. Look at that. Look at that tall, dark, handsome man who has style and confidence. Like,
I never plan those things.
Yeah, she said, I was like, get to the front of the stage, like, where you belong.
I'm flat-footed. I'm just trying to rest. I'm trying to rest my arches. That's all that is. My arches be killing me.
You have a stage wife that's like, get your ass to the front of the stage. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Plant both of your feet.
Yeah.
That stool is just for your water.
Yeah, she sounded a little bit like a gymnastics coach mom. Like,
sit up straight! Yes.
Like you stick the landing.
Yeah, fundamentals. Yeah. All right.
You're not Schroeder. All right, sit up straight. Charlie Brown? No.
Keep your mic in the stand. We're going old school.
Put the mic on your mouth, all right?
Yeah, it felt a little bit like a beauty pageant scenario. So, anyways, I'm so excited to have you both on the show, and I'm so excited to have you both do the podcast. And our theme for this one is exciting, to talk to a couple guys who both grew up with parents who immigrated to this country and have unique perspective, unique take. Both ended up in comedy for some weird reason, of which we'll get to. Maybe that's directly related. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. But I wanted to introduce folks to you and hear you guys a little bit of story and hear your perspective on some things. But first, I want to let's ask, you can answer this each individually. When did your parents come to the States and why? What were the circumstances of your folks coming over?
My parents, they came like late 70s.
This is before you were born?
Before I was born.
Okay, yeah, so you were born in the States.
Born in the States, yeah.
Where were they coming from?
Nigeria. Came from Nigeria. They just came really just for like opportunity. My dad's oldest brother, Ike, was living here.
What's your dad's name?
Christian.
Okay, Ike and Christian.
Yeah, and my name is Chinadu.
That's very impressive.
Right, right. I could be Chris Jr., man.
They had like...
No.
Well, Ike was a popular name.
Right.
Maybe didn't have the best connotation
right,
to it.
Turner, yeah. Yeah.
Right. But they gave you the most African name.
Oh, for sure. It's up there with the other ones. It's actually a very common name.
What are your siblings' names? Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have four of us. It's four of us. So it's Ndidi, Ikenna, it's my big brother, Amaka, me, and then my little brother's Nduka.
All right, so they stayed on theme.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And they all have nicknames.
They stayed on brand.
Except me. Yeah, I never got a nickname.
Well, what Chin?
Chin, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't get that till like college.
Yeah.
But at that time, I've been with Chinadu for so long.
Where'd you go to college?
UC Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that like a bunch of like white guys that were really excited to have you as a friend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And I was excited to have them, man. You know, it was, I went to a school that was pretty diverse. Like, my mom, my dad, when they came over, they were living in Compton for a while. When I was born, I was only there for like a couple years. Then we lived in Linwood. Then we moved to Harbor City. And Harbor City is super diverse.
Okay.
I'm talking poor, rich folks, black, white, Philip, everything is there. My high school is like 20%, 20%, everything was there.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the yearbook, it was like MLK's dream, right?
So by the time you got to high school, it was normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I felt like I was just used to every culture.
Right.
But when I went to college, it was still a culture shock for me.
Mm.
Just because like the school was so predominantly white, and outside the school was so predominant. It wasn't that they were white, but it was like a different white folks that I wasn't used to, who wasn't used to seeing people like me.
Right, absolutely.
So, yeah, so there was like their faces. Like, I was like, maybe it could be my t-shirt was so long. But I had a much easier time than some of my other black friends who like went to a high school that's predominantly black.
Right.
And never had met a white person probably for a lot of them. So
you're saying college was an easier.
Yeah. I was a bridge for both. It was a weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that's like, I was thinking about this with my kids earlier. Like we have like in a pretty diverse area. So the idea, like my daughter, Gloria.
Yeah, Seattle is rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my daughter, we live on, it was more La Mesa. My daughter's doing a, like a report on like famous Americans that made contributions, and she chose Michelle Kwan. And I was like, isn't this amazing that her parents were born in Hong Kong? And she's like, yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
People come from other countries. And I was like, I grew up in an area that didn't happen. It wasn't predominantly white, but it was like, it was all from that area.
Right.
So she's like, yeah, no, that's where that's where people come from. Some are from the country and some are from other countries, Dad. I was like, all right, don't spare me the lecture.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She was just into her for her athletic accomplishments.
Yeah, she's like, look at how many medals she won. That's what's impressive, Dad. And she's
and you're like, but she's Asian.
Yeah.
And you're like, and she's like,
yeah,
but
yeah, people, my children are much more woke than me, is what I'm saying. And so much more so that I can't say woke.
It comes out nice.
Yeah, does it? It didn't feel
out nice.
It didn't feel nice.
It
yeah.
came out like you were reading a blog about it.
There's kids out here being woke.
Yeah.
It's Yeah. Anyways, the so your parents came over late 70s.
Yeah.
Put that anywhere.
Uncle Ike had already paved the way.
Yeah. So he kind of like, you know, tested the waters. He kind of established himself a little bit, so my dad and mom came over. They had, like, a little assistance from him. They went to a JC, Southwest College. My dad was, like...
So they go to school right away?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
My dad, he was, like, working three jobs. He was, like, a delivery pizza man. Then at night, he would be a butcher. Then he would, like, be a janitor at this elementary school he ended up teaching at a little bit. So he was doing that. You know,
he went from janitor to teacher?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I know,
that's
right?
That's incredible.
He was like, heard is her position open? Yeah, like, you finish the toilets? Yeah.
Was it like a Goodwill Hunting thing where they saw him drawing on one of the boards?
Right. He's like, hey, you. Did you
solve that problem?
I figure him doing equations in Windex and then wiping it down, like in the codes he's doing it.
Right.
And people going, like, what are you doing? I'm just cleaning the...
Right.
I'm just cleaning the glass.
Did you solve that parabola yourself?
Yeah, parabola. That's a solid word.
And so then you and the siblings are born. Are you the oldest or?
No, I'm second to youngest, actually.
Okay, so were some of your siblings born in the States?
All of us were born in the States.
Okay, I meant to say, so all of them were born in the States. Okay, so that's the kind of, what was kind of the state of their community when they moved? Was it like, hey, there's no hope here, or there's something better for us?
Yeah, I don't think it was like there was no hope here because they have plans to go back and live there. Like my mom.
They still currently do?
Yeah. My dad built a house in the village where he lives.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're gonna, like, he's actually leaving next week to stay there for 3 months.
Oh, okay.
So he retired this past October. So they're planning to do that.
What did he end up doing career wise?
Social worker. Both my mom and dad are both social workers.
Both your parents are social workers. Wow.
Yeah. So they taught a little bit elementary school.
Yeah.
And then they moved into
schools you were at or no?
No, I didn't go. Okay. No. No. That would not work at all.
You don't want Mr. Unaka as your teacher.
I know. I only remember their years teaching, honestly. By the time I was of age where I could, like, start recalling things.
Right.
They were both social workers already. So they've always been social workers.
What kind of work do they do?
They pretty much, you know, they call it, I just hear them complain about paperwork and then they talk.
Well, yeah, that's social work, yeah.
Yeah, I just hear, like, my dad telling stories of, like, him going to houses and dogs being stuck on him. Right. Like that. He's like, I had to call the police department to try to put a pit bull at me. So I just hear those stories, like, upstairs that my mom and dad just discussed their day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they worked hard, man. They used to, every opportunity to work overtime, they would take it.
Right.
You know, because they just had plans for all of us to, you know, go to college.
Right. So now you work 45 minutes a night.
Yeah, man. It's amazing to get back. Yeah. I spend my time in, like, regular jobs.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The grind is real, though.
Right.
But
How do they reflect on those early years with you guys? Because they come to the country and they start having kids pretty quick.
Yeah.
How long are they here before your oldest sibling is born?
Not too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think maybe like a year or something. Yeah.
So they came here, they went to JC and started having kids.
Yeah, smart move. Before you get deported, start planning them out. You know, put them anchors down.
They're not the only people in JC with some kids, that's for sure.
Right.
JC is like, it's people fresh out of high school and 40-year-olds.
Yep.
That's what usually makes up the junior college environment.
Yeah, but they definitely took advantage of it. You know, just everything that's, all the opportunity that's out here. You know, they worked their butts off.
Yeah.
Just kind of did things right, you know.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it worked out, you know. They're super strict because they want to make sure we didn't mess it up for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, don't go out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So any C-, any C at all wasn't going to happen.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, unacceptable.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And then Zoltan, so for you, it's just mom, right, that comes over. When and why?
We moved.
You came with.
I was born in Budapest, and I was, so the only memory I have of Hungary, I lived with my grandmother and my mother, and we were on the streets in 89 when the communists moved out, which was a big historic moment.
You remember that?
I remember that. I was two, but I don't remember, I guess what we, I just remember all the streets being empty and a bunch of people on the sidewalks, and I was on the street with my mom and my uncle and a bunch of other family members. I guess what we were watching was the Russians move out their military vehicles.
Right.
I don't remember any of that. I just remember a guy with camouflage pants and a dog. That's all I remember. I remember a really puffy, furry German shepherd. That's all right. I remember from that. But when I tell the story to my mom, she goes, yeah, we were watching the Russians move. But so my mom ended up remarrying to this Hungarian-American, and that's what got us to go to America.
Okay, so you came over with the stepdad.
With the stepdad, who ended up being a real d-.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that he was a real d-. He, like, went on, he quit his job. He was like a... I was about to say a scientist. Who are those people that, like, look into microscopes with a lab coat on?
Sounds like scientists.
Yeah, but, like...
Lab scientists?
Yeah, like a lab something. Mm-hmm. Research. And, yeah, maybe a research. He was researching stuff. He got laid off.
Who's the guy with the microscope? The investigators?
Like, yeah. No, I feel like figure that out.
I was
you
4 years
know?
Old, all right? This was like a rough...
Was this guy like...
Know.
Was he like testing on mutants? Was he like...
In the 7 months...
He was a mad scientist.
He made Weapon X is what he did.
Right. That marriage lasted for 7 months, and I just remember one moment we went to go watch him at work, and he was like looking in a... He was in a lab coat, and he was looking into a microscope, and that's all I remember. He could have been an optometrist. Yeah. For all I know. He could have been... This could have been at the mall.
He
I don't remember.
Trespassing.
Yeah, I was going to say, he could have been a crazy person. Right. This person didn't even have a job.
Just a lunatic in a white coat.
Right. Yeah. Jake, get out of here.
Yeah. Why are we doing this in a parking lot? Why? Right. Didn't he have a lab somewhere?
It didn't last long. He got laid off and went on like unemployment, and my mom was working at some factory in Pittsburgh. And I had two evil stepsisters, like a Cinderella type thing.
Oh my gosh.
They were really mean to me.
Older?
Yeah, they were older. Yeah. They were like tweens, I guess. And they would, like, my mom would work late hours, and they would tell me, you know, your mom's not coming back, right? And like, they knew that I hated them.
Yeah.
And she ain't coming back, dude. And I was just cry all the time. My stepdad never was like, they're lying.
Oh.
So I would just cry all the time until my mom came home.
How old are you at this point?
4.
Oh, gosh.
19.
These people were horrible people.
This is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant funny.
This was sad when I saw it in a cartoon in Cinderella. This is a real person that this happened to.
They did this to a 4-year-old. They were mean.
That's rude.
A 4-year-old Hungarian immigrant.
Who just wanted his mom. He was a big mama's boy.
Yeah.
So anyway, my mom, that marriage lasted 7 months. And we were going to move back home to Hungary and go, well, that was f***ing it. But there was a big Hungarian community in Pittsburgh. And one of these parties that we went to, my mom met this rich Hungarian lady that owned a business, like this cosmetology type business. And that lady hired my mom to be a live-in housekeeper for her rich family and offered to sponsor us. So it was like a legal way for us to stay in the country.
Oh, that's amazing.
So my mom and I, it was a lot of luck. And this is like,
parties don't pay off.
Right. Not to make it like political, but you know, we talk about a lot about DACA and immigrants stuff. And that's why I can never go against that stuff, because like, oh, they're here illegally. And then they'll throw it in my face. Like, well, you came legally. I go, not really.
Ish.
There was some shady shit and a lot of luck.
Yeah.
And my mom never lets me forget, like, dude, our situation is so much better here than what we could have had in Hungary.
Right.
Because all of our family is
Once
still
the
over there.
Once the stepsisters were out, though.
Yeah, those
before
people were
that,
awful.
You're like, communist Hungary.
Yeah. Yeah, communist Hungary. All of our family's over there, and they're struggling.
Yeah.
And so we ended up settling in Pittsburgh, and we lived there for a few years. And that was interesting, because I was like one of those English in a second ESL kids.
Right.
Yeah.
But in San Diego, there's a lot of kids in ESL.
Right.
In Pittsburgh, it was me and an Asian kid named Simon, and the classroom was the size of a closet.
Oh man, you guys learned a lot fast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No. That's a lot of attention.
It was one teacher for the two of us.
Did we spend one year
in ESL, and then we were back into regular reading classes.
Zeltan, I'm helping somebody right now. All right, be patient.
It's Simon.
Two people in the class.
You see me helping Simon right now.
Right. I am helping
Simon. Asian kid with a bowl cut and suspenders. That's how I remembered Simon.
Was there like a curve on the test? Is it test curve? Well, Simon aced it, so.
It is funny to think about there being like
so he just blew
normal
it.
Classroom dynamics between two students. Well, you know, he's the teacher's pet. He's,
right. Yeah. That's hilarious. Class clown. Just one joke and you're the class clown. Just take one joke. One corny joke. And you're already the class clown.
That's Sultan.
And Simon that's what started my career.
They do most likely to, you know, be president.
Right. Yeah.
They do. It's just you guys over and over.
He just missed all the awards. Simon was his stellar
I was
kid.
Class treasurer. It was a tough race.
Not so, but Simon was.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to be racist? No.
It's not race statistics. Ability.
Yeah. So, though, aren't you in this scenario, though, like, what kind of school are you going to, though?
I'm living, this is so interesting, so I've actually had a great experience in the state.
Well, we'll see if it's interesting. We'll
no,
be
it is. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We'll be the judge.
Oh, yeah, I came off very NPR-like right there. This is going to be fascinating.
It's very interesting. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm going to, my voice is going to sound very wet. very NPR-y. So we lived in a neighborhood that was, like, one of the richest neighborhoods in Pittsburgh. So, like, Bill Cowher owned a house down the street.
Wow.
And because we were living housekeeper and they brought the kid along me, so we're living in this really rich neighborhood in Pittsburgh. So I went to this really, really nice elementary school. Like, first grade, we had an art class with a different teacher, and we had a kiln. Like, we made stuff. A kiln? Like, if you put something together with pottery, that's where it gets hard. It's like a big oven.
Okay, wow. Yeah.
This school is legit.
Yeah.
They need to teach you about kilns. I don't
pottery?
Know
what, yeah. We had a music class. I'm not making this up. We had a music class where we would sing, and the teacher would give progress reports on how our vocal cords were developing.
Oh, my
to
God.
Our this is first
this sounds
grade.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is
we should sing. Be president.
Yeah, we just sang 50 Nifty United States in my music
class.
And this class.
Is,
that's all
this
we
is
did.
Public school. It's just public school in a very rich
Well, yeah, public school in high-end areas. Right. It's private school.
Private.
And yeah, exactly.
Because the community is private.
Exactly, to get into the community. Right.
Yeah,
it's private and Zoltan for some reason.
Right,
and then so
and you're still learning English.
Yeah, I'm learning English and then doing these other classes. And
so, what are the kids like to you?
They're pretty friendly. The daughter of my mom's boss was
other
my
than Simon.
Age.
Simon and you were cool.
Simon and I are cool, but this actually made it easy. My mom's boss had a daughter my age, and we were in the same grade. So we not only did we live together in the same house, but we also had the same classroom. So we were already friends. And so, like, that kind of
did they, like,
made,
call you guys brother and sister?
Yeah, they thought we were brother and sister.
Would she be like, he's not my brother? Or she'd be cool? Like, yeah, whatever.
No, we always made it clear, like, we're not related. Okay. Yeah.
Stop, even though stop we never, saying that.
Sultan's trying to get some. Oh, we're related. 5 more years, I'm going after that. Let's just be clear.
Yeah, it was kind of like we always got along. I never remember arguing. We were always friends. She would play with her Barbies. We would play together. So she had Barbies and I had pro wrestlers.
Yeah.
So like Bret Hart and Hulk Hogan would be playing with like Barbie and Ken. Yeah, it would all be like a whole.
So all the things you still currently love.
Yes. Yeah. Barbie and pro wrestling. It was all still the same. But So
for the most part, are you getting bullied? Are the kids cool with you?
No, everyone was super nice.
What about you, Chinadu? When you're like those young elementary school
years.
Did
I get bullied in school?
Like, what were the kids like as far as like.
Well, I had a funny name, so I got bullied.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah.
They called me like Chinadoodoo.
Chinadoodoo. That even
they should have stopped with Chinadoodoo.
Chinadon't. All of them.
Chinadon't.
And I was like, man, look, guys, I wouldn't get mad because they'll make fun of me. It just wasn't original. They kept saying the same thing. Like, all right, man, just something new, please.
Chinadoodoo is good, though.
Yeah, that
was far
great.
As child and soul.
Come up with the best burns.
It was classic, man.
I was kids, I always got Crustin.
Crustin?
Crustin.
I used to have you know that dad joke I do, right? Telling my friends I have a dad.
Yeah.
So LaVon.
I did it on stage tonight for the sound check.
Oh, you did? That's hilarious.
It did not sound
right
like
on point.
You.
Someone told me you did it right on point.
Yeah.
I'm very flattered. LaVon and Chucky's actually the same person. Chucky was LaVon's.
Okay. Nickname. That's what I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember the names of your black friends in the joke. So I said like Jamal. Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't remember.
LaVon had, he had like this thing. I don't know why, but he had like this like cresting around his lips.
Yeah.
Or something. Oh. But he was so funny. We used to like tease you. I used to call him Krusty the Clown.
Yeah.
It was so funny though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was me.
Jalen's the meanest. I've never
Kids are mean. I've never been hurt like that.
And either you gotta fight or you gotta be funny. You just gotta get funny too. That's why I was like, look, man, I am too skinny to fight.
Yeah.
I'm new to the school. I'm gonna have to learn how to write jokes or something.
I was funny and then I helped kids with their homework.
That too.
Oh, you were the smart one.
Yeah, me too. Well, when I went to a port I grew up in it's somewhere between like ghetto and blue collar. Okay. Like it's somewhere in, it's not.
Yeah, it's working class.
It was actually
blue ghetto.
Yeah, it was blue ghetto.
Yeah.
It was because, and actually what it was there, it was a mix of blue collar and then like the bad neighborhood where I was at also went to my school. So right, that's okay. What, like you couldn't ride bikes to my school because bikes kept getting stolen. Mm. Like you couldn't.
Right. So wait, bikes got stolen with people on them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We couldn't play tackle football. First, you couldn't play tackle football, and then they wouldn't let you play touch football. As soon as you caught it, you had to stop because fights kept breaking out. Like wow. Just like they'd like touch you, and then it turned into a big fight.
College rules.
Yeah. So like when I went to that school, I was the smartest kid in the school. Yeah. I got like every award you could get.
Feels
I was
great,
like, yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then we went. So the neighborhood that I grew up had 21st Street, and it was like the tracks. Like there was the other side of the tracks, and we merged with all the money, and then I was the definition of mediocre in middle school.
That's like the 8 Mile.
Yeah. As soon as we kind of broaden our perspective, I was a B average student. Right. But in elementary school, it was like, hey, I could be kind of funny, surprisingly funny, and then I would help kids with their homework that needed a little bit of help, which meant I cheated on tests with them. But I didn't get bullied as much.
Yeah,
they called me Krustin less, which was nice.
I'll take it. Really, helping kids on their homework helped me get bullied less. Like my head is huge.
Yeah.
And it's always been huge.
So it was this size in third
grade?
When
I was little. Like a strong wind, and I would lose my balance a little bit.
Just chin-a-doo-doo. Just out there.
Chin-a-doo-doo, big
head. Just always built like a toddler.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, toddlers, they have those big heads and small bodies. Yeah,
just bobbleheads.
Yeah, man. As soon as I got to high school,
bobbing around out there playing wall ball.
I like, I need to do shoulders to gain my balance.
Yeah, we got
to
get shoulders in there.
Did you start playing sports young? Because you like play basketball and stuff, yeah, you?
Yeah, I started playing basketball.
That was like the other thing, that you can make friends with sports.
Oh, sports is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It teaches you how to make friends, leadership, how
unless
to
you suck.
Fail. Right. Yeah. Unless you suck, too.
That actually helps with leadership. It teaches you you're not a leader. So go follow that guy.
Real talk. Yeah. You find out through
sports. You find a pecking order.
Am I a role player or am I a star?
When he gets four fouls, you got to go in and hack a little while.
You learn your place through
you
sports.
Gotta roll, right? You got to roll. You got
to roll. I'm a bench player. Got it.
Yeah.
In life, I mean, that
sports will teach you anything in life. Everything.
You just got to apply it on your way out.
No,
too,
I'm with you.
So, I play sports. I play basketball. That was like my number one sport. I was pretty good at football, man.
Yeah.
This is how much bullying would affect you, right? I was pretty good at football, like in middle school, like playing flag and stuff.
Yeah.
Just like a natural quarter. I could really pass the ball, like basketball too. But I got called big head so much. I was terrified of going out for tackle football because I was like, what if the helmet don't fit?
Wow.
And I got to get a special helmet. I won't be able to live it. I can't start high school wearing a special helmet.
What if they got
to
bring in?
Like what if they have like some kind of try on the helmet ritual and like all the whole team is
they
there?
They got to bring in like, that, like
on the, oh man.
Put it on. That's super
funny, but that is such a child fear.
Yeah. Real talk.
You're like, this is, I don't want to get that Rick Moranis like, Spaceballs helmet.
Right.
You know?
Oh. I was like, I am not put on a helmet.
I remember I was
being
weirded
a kid
out
so hard.
Yeah, because I have a big head and because I'm shorter. My friends were like, I had a buddy who's 6'4 now, but he was probably 6 foot when we started freshman ball in high school. And we wore the same size helmet.
Yeah.
And he wore a large, and so did I.
Yeah.
But I was like 6 inches, 7 inches shorter than him. And I was just like, this doesn't make sense. So I can't imagine, like, you're a taller person. You're like, they're not going to have a helmet big enough for me.
I just assumed everybody wore the same size helmet, and they was gonna have to find a special one for your boy. I knew a guy named Arthur that went to the same high school as me, and he was the first person I met that had a bigger head than me. And I was so happy. No, he didn't play football. I was just so happy he went to the school. I was like, oh, look at this.
I wasn't the big head guy now anymore.
You ever see like a guy who's like huge, like weight wise, and they see a bigger person, they lose their mind.
Did that with your head.
Finally.
Well, because they have like all these stockpile fat jokes. You know
what I'm saying? Just in the pocket, ready to.
Arthur, look at that head.
They're like, I can't say that to Chinadu because Arthur is the king, big head.
Right, man.
That's
hilarious. Yeah, big head woes, man.
Wow. Dude, king, that stuff's so brutal. I quit wrestling junior year in high school.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty good. Like, I was doing well.
Yeah.
I quit because I had a bad breakout of acne on my back.
Wow.
And I couldn't get in the singlet in front of my school anymore.
That stuff messes with you, bro.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want them to see it. I don't.
Right.
I guess I'll just give up on my goals. I didn't want it because people will go out to our wrestling matches, and I'm getting down there in that little singlet, and I'm like, nah, it's pretty bad back in my back knee. It's not looking. I'm going to not do this. I'm
going to
go get
brother,
a job. I haven't got a job.
He's in high. Like, this reminded me of like how stressful it was and how sweaty and uncomfortable I was in high school. My brother, he's a sweet kid. He's in high school now, and he's been breaking out in hives just when he gets nervous.
Uh-huh.
And so they've been giving him, like, whatever.
Like a pill or something?
Yeah, a pill that's for allergies.
Yeah, like Claritin or whatever. Claritin. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But it's not allergies. It's giving it to him. It's, like, just being weirded out in public situations.
Yep.
Wow.
That and happened so to me.
Anxiety is real, man.
Yeah, anxiety is real. And I was relating to him, and I was like, dude, that would happen, except I would just start pouring sweat. Well, I would be in class for no reason. Yeah. I would just be like, why am I weirded out? And I would just feel like sweat going down my ribs and stuff.
You just feel like everybody's staring at you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, another big head story, right?
So many big head stories.
I just remember them now.
And by the way,
I pushed them out of my head.
I want to say, your head perfectly fits your body now.
Now?
Yeah.
I had to work very hard to catch my body up.
You paid your dues. You're like a beautiful man now.
Man, I had to catch my body up, bro. My body was skinny.
You're that level of like beauty that like Zoltan and I like. There's a couple of comics.
Zoltan's
that
a gorgeous man. You too, Dust.
Well, that's very nice of you.
I want to kiss you both right now.
That's but like
turn
sometimes,
off the lights.
Sometimes as a comic, you'll just you look at you and you're like, that ain't you can't be good looking and funny. That's
and
not
then you
fair.
Go be funny and then we hate you.
Yeah,
that's
like,
my list.
Oh, so you're
Jeff Keith.
Jeff,
who else
that's
do
my
I
boy.
Got?
Jeff is
Jeff
funny.
Dye?
Jeff
funny.
Dye?
Jeff Dye is a beautiful
Jeff
man.
There's a couple Jeffs. Yeah, anytime where they're like good looking. And he was just here. Mal Hall. Mal Hall's a good
Mal's a beautiful
too
man.
Too tall to be funny. Sorry. Watch this guy. Bob. Watch this. Go watch this. Yo, it's a big head story. All right.
Oh, that's right.
This is a real thing. Okay, so I knew my boy Marcel, right? He was a basketball team. Always make fun of me, right? He was running for prom king, and I knew he was. I know I'm gonna run against him. I know he's gonna win, but he didn't know. I went to the elementary school, middle school, and high school.
Yeah.
So I knew everybody at the high school just because I've been around for so long in that city. And then he knew like all the cool people, but I knew them exactly. But I knew the nerds because I was like have the HSA classes sometimes. I knew everybody. I just hung out with everybody, right?
Right.
I ran one this right.
You won.
Won.
Yeah,
but which was my fear.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That was my fear, though.
You've dropped like 10 F bombs. Why do you apologize now?
Right.
I'm so sorry.
That was only your third. It's your second or third. And
eight, no less than eight.
Bro, they bring out the crown.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, this is gonna look too small. They bring out the crown, bro, right? And they're like, they crown my homegirl Danielle, right? They give her a little princess thing. And I'm like, oh boy. And I take it and I try to put it on. I like put this aside. I hold it like this, like, take a picture. I take it off. Like, y'all wear it, man. This is our win, baby.
This is our win.
So everybody in my high school took a picture of the crown. It was actually a beautiful thing. Everybody was prom king that day. Everybody got a picture with it. It was great.
What were you, my question, because one of the things that I'm always most interested in is when folks immigrate into the States, like, there's always, I mean, because you mentioned earlier your parents were super strict.
Yeah.
There's always, I think, contrasting parenting styles.
For sure.
That, some of that has to do with where you land, too, because you can go around the country
And you can be like in Birmingham or Dallas or Philadelphia and San Diego, Seattle. There's going to be different parenting philosophies right. everywhere you go in mm-hmm. that. So in the communities that you land, you know, what do your parents kind of think of like the other parents and how they're raising their kids? Are they not hard enough? Are they too loose? They, right. you know, whatever it may be.
Right. I mean, for the most part, from what I remember, it was weird, like, because, like, in my house was Nigeria, but right outside that door was America, right?
Right.
And so, like, I lived on a street where it was just super diverse. Like, one of my best friends, Joseph, he was Korean, mm-hmm. right? And his parents were super strict, like my parents, so we connected on that level.
Right.
Right? And I had, like, a lot of friends in the same neighborhood who were, like, just, you know, black dudes from America.
Right.
And we connected because the world treated us the same. Mm. Even though in my house, it was more similar to what Joseph was going through than what they were going through. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah. So, like, the parenting. So, I would, like, go hang out my boy's Levon house, who he had, like, a broken, you know, like, a more broken home.
Right.
His dad wasn't there, whatever. He was living with his grandparents, you know.
Right.
And I would see that dynamic. Now, I would go to my boy's Chris's house, who's also black, but he had, like, a, you know, mom and dad, regular family, but they're right. a little more lenient with, like, you know, and more trust.
Right.
And, but my house was, like, very strict. Be home by 8.
Right.
When the sun down, you better be in the house. Same right. thing with Joseph. Like, grades were so important. Like, they would throw away his video games in the trash if he got bad grades. And then I would go into the trash and take them. I'm like, Joseph, what's wrong? My dad doing my video games. Oh, really?
Yeah, which trash?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is it on the street? Yeah. Or did he go to, or was it at his work?
I'd rather go to y'all take him. Yeah, he'll come to my house later, plays with
dude,
him.
Dude, I got Donkey Kong Country. Yeah. I got that.
He's like, I want to go first. Like, Joseph, these aren't your games no more. these are my games.
These are Chinadu's
right.
games.
You
now.
Will
thank
go
you.
When we tell you. Your
you
turn.
See the Sharpie? It says right. Chinadu on this. It's not.
So it was just.
So did you find yourself friends wise attracted mm-hmm. more to friends that were like kind of had a similar home life as you or more the opposite? Or like.
I just kind of. Or really just open. Yeah, I just enjoyed them all. Like, really, just like I liked having friends that. Just brought different things to the
right,
table because I just
right.
took from everybody. Just learned a lot.
Right.
And, you know, just yeah.
That yeah, I think that's the same. When I like was in elementary school, most of the families that I was around were all broken, and mm-hmm. it was like, hey, which one parent do you have?
Right.
Like I just got it. I was the minority because I had a dad.
Right.
Like in that, like most
everyone else had their moms.
Everyone else had their. Right. You don't meet people that were raised by single dads that often.
Right.
You know.
Right,
so
right.
we would make a complete family.
Right. Right. Right.
Well, I had my dad and my uncle.
Hey man, your dad he likes bowling too.
Yeah. How about my dad meet your mom? I mean, right. who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, it was actually my uncle. So I was raised by my dad and my uncle
nice.
And his brother. And my uncle was like more like the like, hey, what's Tommy's mom up to tonight?
And you're like, I don't know.
So, hey, put in a good word for me when you go over.
You lived yeah. real life Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, exactly. That's
yeah,
100%.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a
yeah.
show.
Yeah. And then my poor sister. My uncle, I love my uncle, Uncle Butch, yeah. Who, like, close your eyes and imagine Uncle Butch. That's yeah. him. And he was, like, I was thinking about this earlier today because he was one of those guys who was, like, really open-minded, but, like, as far as, like, you know, racial and politically, he was very yeah. open-minded, but he lacked tact. Like, he would just say the wrong things a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I remember for a while, he was dating a black woman, and, like, she, like, I just woke up one morning, and she was at our house.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, so Cheryl slept over. Yeah. And he's like, hey, Dustin, come on in here. Cheryl's cooking grits. This is what black people eat. And I was like,
that's funny. I like Butch.
But, you know, so he was open-minded yeah. enough to, like, date a black girl and eat grits, but he lacked the tact to be like, you don't say this
yeah.
is what black people eat.
But that's,
eat.
Like, what, like, all... I feel like our parents kind of had some of that.
That's the thing. My uncle and my dad were raised in small town rural Oregon.
Yeah, they're yeah. like just, you know, just a different.
Yeah.
Like my dad was super open minded, you know, but sometimes he would say things and he wouldn't realize what. I remember one time, like he thought everybody who cut him off was Mexican.
Yep.
He thought yep. if you cut him off, you have to be a Mexican.
Right.
So we're driving to school one day.
I don't even know that stereotype.
Right.
By the way.
Yeah. I think you got it wrong. I'm like, who told you that? You got it anyway. So this car cuts him off. He's like, I bet you it's a Mexican that cut me off. And we catch him to the car, and it's this other Nigerian living neighborhood. He's like, oh, hey, Jigwe, how you doing? It's just like this other Nigerian.
I thought you had that experience as an adult when I worked at the mechanic shop a few years ago, and my father-like figure, Daryl Jones, who's a classic American redneck, I'm driving, and there's like a merging situation coming, and he just looks over and goes, "Watch out for this Mexican." And that was the whole line, and I go, "Well, he's just merging, like everybody else." But exactly. Because he was Mexican, he might have just gone, "Whoa!" Just swiped us all out, like just merging, like everybody.
You catch that? I remember I had this back when I was working at the rec center. We had this woman who came up and complained one day, and she was all upset that some people were swimming in their full clothes. Like the rule is, you're supposed to swim in your swimwear or whatever, and you're not supposed to swim in cotton. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because cotton can get like in the filter and stuff. Right. And we remember talking to her. She's like, "You know what? Like it's not really that big of a deal. It's like 108 today. Mm-hmm. Pool's open. We're letting people swim because it was folks kind of who come from City Heights or whatever.
It's hot.
We're letting them swim. You know, like, there's not really a lot of disease in there." She's like, "Well, if anybody would have disease, it was the immigrants."
Oh.
And I was like, and the way she hit immigrant, I was like,
"You might as well have said
a racial slur."
Immigrants.
She called it immigrants.
Yeah. Immigrants.
Them damn immigrants.
Isn't it such an interesting word that you
can
be like
pulling out a red hat from her purse as she's saying it.
Like I can say to you, like to your face, like, "Hey, your mom is an immigrant, right? Yeah. And your parents are immigrants, right? Like, now if anyone has disease, it's the immigrants."
Immigrants.
Yeah. It's rarely what you say is how you say it.
Yeah, exactly. That's 100%. Well, we're starting to wrap here. What I wanted to kind of end with, because there's 1,000 questions that I would have on this. But thinking about like your childhood, thinking about your parents, thinking about the way they raised you, thinking about like how, you know, your peers treated you. Because it seems like, you know, some of it was kind of normal, but then at the same time, you obviously knew culturally you were bringing something else to the table than a lot of your peers.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, I mean, of course it is. The answer is obviously yes, but like specifically, think about, like, I'm curious if you're like, okay, how did this shape me as a person? You know, how did this shape me as a comic? And then I also am curious, like, you know, as a current dad, like, how do you think, like, this is going to shape me as, like, a future parent? You know, like, am I going to do
shit.
not to get too down the road for you,
no,
but
no,
specifically
but
just,
like, deep.
Like, just personally and, you know, like, how it led you into comic and, like, okay, is it going to be exactly what my parents did or is it going to be a merge of kind of what my parents did?
Yeah.
Be curious to hear you guys' kind of thoughts on that.
I just think, like, well, as a person, I think, like, just being, having immigrant parents, I think it just shaped me, it just kind of gave me, like, more of a diverse view of how the world works, and I just think I was like more mature than a lot of my peers,
right?
Growing up, so I think
just because you had a bigger understanding of the
world, 100%. Like I just, it wasn't so local, right? So I knew the world was a very big place. A lot of kids don't even understand how big the world is.
My parents came from Africa,
exactly. This is not, I'm not from this country technically, but you know, my parents. So, I think so that helped a lot, and it just really gave me, like, you know, just knowing my parents, the home beginnings they come from,
right?
You, that kind of shapes your personality too, the way you treat people and stuff like that. I think as a comic, I think the more cultures you're exposed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, having Nigerian parents had me, for example, with the story about, like, my Korean friend, relate to him, like, be best friends with a lot of different people,
right?
I think that helps you as a comic, just because you kind of understand how a lot of cultures think and move. So you don't really have to, like, when I write jokes, I'm not thinking, okay, cool, this is the Black Comedy Club joke, this is my White Comedy Club jokes. I just write jokes, and
this is my improv
reason,
joke,
a lot of people,
this is my Comedy Union
joke, no matter what room I'm in, you know,
this is my
I'll get laughs. So I think that helps in a way. As a parent, I think
I know that's down the road for you.
Yeah, no, you never know, things, accidents happen. Yeah, as a parent, I think my mom and dad were so different. My dad was, like, just super chill. He was relaxed. He was pretty strict himself, but nothing compared to my mom.
Right.
And she had, like, a more, like, aggressive approach.
Right.
And so, you know, depending on, like, my girlfriend right now.
So you had, like, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, for sure. But, and I would rather be the good cop. But it really depends on who you're having a kid with, right?
Yeah.
Like, my girl, she's such a nice person,
right?
That would have to be the bad cop,
right?
Or we're gonna get ran over,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So, like, which I'm not looking forward to being a bad cop,
right?
But if I have to, you know, it is what it is. But
Yes, I kind of see that dynamic. Where right. Yeah, it's weird.
I hear you. Yeah, in our house, my wife and I go back and forth. My house had one cop. We didn't have a good cop, bad cop. My dad had to be both cops.
Yeah. He's like, so what do you think, right. Officer Dickerson? Well, I think.
Yeah, he was like the Lego head. To himself. The Lego head. He would just switch between good cop and bad cop. But yeah, in our house, my wife and I just kind of go back and forth, which I think might be okay, and that it keeps the kids on their toes. So like, who's going to be mean tonight? Yeah, I don't know.
No, 100%.
It depends who slept better last night. Yeah.
Sometimes, like, my mom would steal my dad's chances of being mean. Like, once my sister, she lied about having school.
Yeah.
And she told my dad she had school, but it was like a pupil, pupil day or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. My dad's a social worker, so he had a case at that same high school my sister went to. So he went up there, my sister wasn't there, and it looks bad, social worker don't know where this kid is, right? So my dad comes home, he told my mom, like, honey, don't get mad, but Amaka wasn't at school. When she gets here, let me handle it. And I'm here like, oh, I pop popcorn. It's about to be good. So my dad, he was going to have like this calm speech, right?
It's so fun when your siblings get in trouble.
Right? My sister walks in. She's in uniform still. My dad's like, so how was school? He never asks us how was
he
school.
Sold it.
And so she was like, she looked at me. I was like, mm-mm. And she was like, it was good. And before my dad could say another word, my mom was like, you didn't go to school. So I was like, just dragging her upstairs. Didn't go to school. My dad was like, ah, it's my turn.
That's phenomenal.
That's wonderful.
It's so good. What about you, Zoltan?
I liked my upbringing because it was so different. We lived in we were poor in Hungary. We were rich in Pittsburgh. And then we were poor again in San Diego.
Where were you living in San Diego? Were you guys in a house, apartment, trailer? What were you in?
San Diego, we first lived in Ranch Bernardo, so we were middle class. Right. And then we moved to San Marcos, where we were single wide trailer. I went to the poorest elementary school, which was all Mexican kids and me. And that's where I learned that, like...
Zoltano.
That's where I learned about property taxes, meaning how good your school is.
Right.
So, like, that's why kids that grow up in a rich school, they go, I don't know why these poors can't get themselves out of their situation. Right. It's
why
like,
these poors?
Because you don't... in one situation...
Where's the pottery class?
Right, yeah, we had a pottery class. So I learned a lot of... I learned about property taxes. Like, where if you lived in the rich neighborhood, you went to a really nice school, and then when you lived in the poor neighborhood, those schools sucked, and those teachers cared more about surfing than they did about teaching you long division.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't surprising.
All the analogies were surf based. Like, if you have to swim out 1 mile.
Well, how often do you use long division?
That's very true.
But you surf a lot.
And to this day, I don't know how. And, But yeah, so I like that upbringing because it taught me you get to experience different things instead of just growing up poor and going, well, this is how I feel about the rich, or growing up rich and go, well, those poor people aren't doing enough to bring them out. It's like one's given too many tools and too many options and told they're too special, and the other side isn't getting anything.
And so, do you feel like that kind of shapes your comedic voice in some ways?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it helps me relate to everybody. I can make people with money giggle, and then I can make poor people giggle because it's like, dude, I grew up.
Look at me now.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid $800 this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm lucky. But the point is, like, it was interesting living as a kid in a rich neighborhood but still being poor.
Right.
Like, my first bike, I was living in a semi-mansion, and my first bike was donated by the neighbors. Because their kid got older for it, but they knew that my mom was the housekeeper and poor, so my first bike was a hand-me-down.
My first bike was stolen.
See? And I was still lucky because I never had anything stolen.
By a kid who then rode it to school the next day, and I was like, that's my bike, man. But I couldn't do anything about it.
Wow. And you never got it back?
Nah.
You didn't tell your dad?
Yeah, I did, but he's like, yeah, the wrong family stole your bike, buddy. But there's nothing we could do about that.
Well, he's got your Dustin license plate on the
Creston. Creston. My dad had it custom made. crusted. Oh, God.
I
what
feel
about,
it for you.
What about, and we can end with this, what about, like, you're going to thought of, like, okay, you're going to be a parent someday.
Was I would love them to have some form of the diverse upbringing that I did.
Right.
Because I don't think it's not the healthiest just to grow up in the same neighborhood, in the same house for 18 years. I mean, that sounds like the ideal situation. But at the same time, like, what do you learn?
Right.
All the kids you went to elementary school with were there at your graduation. Is that right. great? Is that good? Mm. I don't know. I think it's good to grow up in different, you know, live in a rich neighborhood for a little while. I mean, it's like, who's going to be able to do that?
Right.
But
right,
some
right.
form of like
listen, kids, I'm going to get some money and then I'm going to blow it. But right. it's for your good.
Yeah. We're going to start in a 4-bedroom. Then we're going to end up in a studio. But boy, you're going to be so good for it. Your letter that you're going to send to UCLA for acceptance.
They're
going to
cry.
Everybody
it's
going to
be on fleek.
They're going to weep.
It's not even going to be close.
They can't wait to hear you.
Yeah, so just like it's important to travel, I would hope to, when I have kids one day, to give them some kind of like diverse upbringing to where we're not just in the same neighborhood. We do a little bit of everything.
Well, I know your mom, and I appreciate your mom. I particularly, you do the bit, but I think it's true. Your mom's, I'm always interested in your mom's theories or like perspective on like almost kind of like weird American stuff, like conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She like, doesn't buy into it. Yeah.
What's her one on like
chemtrails? My favorite one, we were at a dinner and there was a guy who was big into chemtrails.
Which are like the things that airplanes leave?
Apparently the government's poisoning us by putting poison in the air to keep us dumb and docile and to keep us from succeeding in life. And then later I explained that to my mom because she didn't get it, what he was talking about. And my mom, after 5 seconds of listening to it, goes, "Oh, the rich people don't breathe this air?" And I go, "Wow, you just blew up that theory in 5 seconds. I never knew what to say to those people." And my mom like that goes, "Yeah, rich people breathe the same air and they're kicking ass." Obviously, you're wrong.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.